Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, we're beginning in verse 45, and this is God's Word. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I love this story. This is a true story. This is not a fable. This is not make-believe. This is history. This is what actually happened. This is God's word. Immediately, Mark's favorite word, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. He made them get into the boat. Several of these guys had earned their living as commercial fishermen there on the Sea of Galilee. They may well have been able to tell that there was a storm coming, that this was not a good time to try and go across the lake. But Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. Now, that's not a mistranslation. That is an accurate reflection of what the Greek actually says. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I know people that are. And I know how to look things up, and I know how to dig. And I have verified this because it matters. If Jesus just suggested that they get in the boat and go to the other side, that would be a different story and I wouldn't have the sermon that I have. But Jesus made them get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. He told them what to do. So, they tried and tried and tried and tried. But they're stuck in the middle of the lake, not able to achieve the goal, even though they're working hard. They're straining at the oars, it says. But the wind was against them. When did he go to see them? The fourth watch of the night. That's the darkest part. That's right. The last part before the dawn. They've been out there all night long, and they're not able to reach their destination. The wind is still blowing. they're still straining at the oars. They didn't give up. They didn't say, let's just go back. They were trying to do what Jesus told them to do. Some of you know what it is to be really tired of doing the right thing. Some of you know what it is to feel like God told me to do this and that's why I'm doing it, but I am worn out. I am straining at the oars hour after hour, day after day, month after month, year after year, and I can't seem to get there. These guys could tell you, I know how that feels. When you're in that situation, you have to ask yourself, why am I doing this? And if the answer is, because I thought it was a great idea, then you need to reevaluate and realize you were wrong. But if the reason you're doing it is because God says so, then you can't quit. You can't quit. Because God's the one who said so. The reason they were in the boat is because Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. Now do you see why that wording is important? The reason they were in that situation is because God told them to do it. And so they're trying to be obedient. I don't know about you, but I feel like if I try and obey God, it ought to go smoothly. You ever feel that way? It's like, God, hey, have you forgotten? The reason that I'm doing this is because you said to do it. Pastor, would you really wouldn't talk to God that way, would you? Yes, I'm sorry, but I've said that to him before. He was never intimidated by me. He was never impressed either. He didn't say, oh, you're right, I'm sorry. So what do? You keep on rowing. You keep on straining at the oars. You keep on doing what he said. What did he tell you? Well, do this. Well, then don't let up. It was totally dark. And Jesus had gone up on the mountain to pray. And it doesn't say, but they were comforted by the fact that as they looked on the mountainside, they could see Jesus praying, and they thought, I'll bet he's praying for me. They couldn't see him, but he could see them. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. I want you to know something. He sees you. He sees you, and he sees what you're doing, and he sees what you're going through, and he cares. But he didn't come yet. He saw them. He was aware of the situation, but he let them keep at it. See, I'm just guessing Jesus hadn't realized that there was a storm coming. No, I'm not guessing that. I think Jesus knew better than the fishermen what the weather does. So Jesus saw them, and he cared, but he waited to come to them. And when he came, the disciples who'd been in this difficult, exhausting situation said, oh, good, guys, look, it's Jesus. Hey, can you help us, please? We need one more to pull on the oars. That's not what happened. They saw Jesus walking on the water. And they said, that is so cool. Wow. You remember, we just went through this thing where he fed all those thousands of people with a little boy's lunch. You know, now this is going to be another one that we're going to have to write in the book. Okay? No, that isn't what happened. They saw Jesus, and they logically assumed it can't be a physical body walking across the water. It must be a ghost. It says they all saw him. And it says that when they saw him, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out because they were terrified. That is what it says. They cried out because they were terrified. Okay? So how do you cry out when you're terrified? Ahoy! Who goes there? Is that it? No. They were terrified, and they screamed like a bunch of girls. Sorry, ladies. But I'm admitting that men do that too if you really startle us enough. Okay? These guys were terrified. They weren't mildly alarmed. What about you, Andrew? Do you think that's an alarming sight? No, they were terrified. Oftentimes, when God begins to address our problem and draws near to us in our problem, we completely misunderstand what he's up to. And that's what they did. Jesus has come to them on the lake, walking on the water, and instead of being comforted, they're terrified. I'll tell you right now, oftentimes when God draws near, it is not initially comforting, because it upsets our world. Andrew Murray, who wrote so much about deeper spiritual things, said that he prayed and prayed and prayed that God would send revival to his country. And when revival came, he became its staunchest opponent. He said that about himself. He said it to his shame. But he said the reason was when the revival came, it wasn't what I envisioned. It wasn't what I hoped for. God was doing it his way, not mine. And therefore, I thought that can't be right. Can anybody else relate? When God begins to move and we say, no. Not what I intended. Well, we're not God. We're not in charge. That's why we pray over and over and over as Jesus taught us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're not asking God to please come alongside and do things our way. At least we shouldn't be. We're supposed to be submitting our wills to his and saying, have your way, Lord. Have your way.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Mark includes a detail that the other Gospels don't include, and I think it's just wonderful. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit to include this. Now, he leaves out the part about Peter saying, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Peter got out, started walking on the water himself, and then got distracted by the storm and sank and cried out to the Lord. The Lord rescued him. He says, you have little faith. Peter is the one who gave Mark this material, and he left out that part about his own story. I can't imagine why. Mark said, well, we're going to put in the part about the screaming. And Peter said, okay, because we all did that. But there's a detail that Mark puts in here that I think is just wonderful. Take a look at the end of verse 48. It says, about the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. Now again, this shows Jesus' personality and wonderful sense of humor. These guys have been for hours straining against the oars. Jesus not only comes walking on the water, but he's going to walk by them. Okay? Jesus has a sense of humor. They're terrified, and Jesus is like, guys, it's okay. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately, Jesus turned and went, ooh. Is that what he did? No. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Which raises the question, why did Jesus make them get in the boat? Why did Jesus tell them that they're going to have to do this when it's going to become not only exhausting, but scary? Why did he do that? Well, God likes to scare us every now and then. No, that's not it. Jesus' message to them is, don't be afraid. Take courage. When God puts us in scary situations, and he does, it is not in order to make us fearful. It is in order to teach us courage, to teach us that we do not have to be afraid. Because if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to go through difficult things. You're going to have to face scary circumstances. This isn't just something that happens in the Gospels. This is something that we see all the way back in the Old Testament. I could give you numerous examples, but one of my favorites is when the Spirit of God was leading the people he had just redeemed out of Egypt. And he takes them on a route that makes the Egyptians think they're wandering around and they've lost their way. Now, they were wandering around, but not because they lost their way. They were following the Holy Spirit as he manifested himself in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They only went where God's manifestation of his presence led them. Okay? And the Lord, go back and read the passage. The Lord deliberately led them in a way that would cause the Egyptians to think, they're lost, and take off after them. So now here comes the Egyptian army, and God has brought them to the place he wants them, which is on the shore of the Red Sea. Why are we here? God led us here. Why would God lead us here? I guess he doesn't know what he's doing. No, he knows exactly what he's doing. Well, then I guess he wants to destroy us because we can't go forward and the Egyptian army's about to close in on us. Well, God then put himself between his people and the Egyptian army and told Moses what to do. Stop crying out to me. Stretch out the rod over the water. And when Moses obeyed the Lord, God went, God caused a wind to separate the water into walls of water on either side of dry ground. And his people were led by him across the Red Sea and to the other side. And the Egyptian army, when God had lifted the curtain, made it possible for them to see, they said, okay, let's go after them. And I love the description of the Egyptian army knew they were in trouble when the wheels started coming off their chariots. Why was that? The ground wasn't dry. God was about to drown the Egyptian army, destroying his enemies as he rescues his people. Now, did God do that in order to scare the Israelites or to teach them that all these things you're going to face on the other side, you don't have to be afraid? Because look what you just saw. And that's what it says here about this. Look. Then he climbed into the boat with them, verse 51, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. Why? For they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. Why did the Israelites get in trouble on the other side of the Red Sea? Because they forgot about the Red Sea. When you go through an experience like that, that's supposed to train you to realize that whatever other problems we face, it's going to be okay. God has already demonstrated his miraculous power. I do not have to be afraid. Jesus had taken a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. And now his disciples can't get across the lake, and they're thinking, what'll we do? What'll we do? Jesus said, go. We can't seem to make it. Oh, no. What's that? Ah! Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. And if you are God's child, God is saying to you this day, take courage. It is I. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Whatever you're facing, don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Remember what he's already done for you. When we look to the cross, we should say with Paul, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Whatever you need in order to do God's will, God will provide. He won't give you everything you want all the time. He'll give you what you need in order to do his will. Well, right now, I just need for God to get me across this body of water. Well, we'll get there. We'll get there. But your job is to keep doing what he told you to do and trust him. So, when they had crossed over, what does that say? When they had crossed, they made it! Of course. Because if Jesus says we're going to the other side, guess where we're going to end up? The other side. You're going to make it. God says so. When they'd crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they saw he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces and they begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. Now, why would they do that? Well, we've already seen the story back in the previous chapter about that woman who had that health crisis that lasted for 12 years. But then she touched the edge of his cloak and she was healed. So these people said, just let me do what that lady did. And all who touched him were healed. Don't be afraid. Take courage. Why? Jesus is there.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.